From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Thursday, May 2nd, and here are today's headlines. Governor Phil Scott says an increase in partisan politics at the Statehouse makes it more likely that he will run for re-election in November. Since the beginning of the legislative session, Scott has maintained he won't make a decision about seeking a fifth term in office until lawmakers have left Montpelier for the year. Recent national polls have identified Scott as one of the most popular governors in the country, and he was reelected in both 2020 and 2022 with roughly 70% of the vote. Speaking to reporters at his weekly press conference, Scott expressed concern about what he called the growing partisan nature of politics at the Statehouse. As an example, he cited the Senate's rejection this week of his Education Secretary Zoe Saunders. Scott says that development makes it more likely he will run for another term.
Some of what we've experienced over the last couple of weeks would lead me to jump back in because I think that we can do better.
The filing deadline for all major parties statewide and legislative candidates is at the end of this month. The University of Vermont will publicly release its endowment investments by the end of the week. That's according to pro-Palestinian student protesters who set up an encampment on campus Sunday afternoon with a list of demands for the university. James, an organizer, didn't want to share his last name because of safety concerns. He says they're still in the early stages of negotiations.
We're holding fast, and we're not going to stop at just knowing where the money is. We want divestment. We want an academic boycott of Israeli institutions.
Students also want UVM to cancel the commencement speech by the U.S. ambassador to the UN because of her vetoes of resolutions calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. And they want UVM to promise not to discipline protesters. UVM leadership will discuss students' concerns with the commencement ceremony, according to VT Digger. Protesters have said they will stay at the encampment until all their demands are met. State regulators say federal officials' recommendation to reclassify cannabis represents a significant policy change. Cannabis is currently classified as a Schedule I drug, the same as substances like heroin. But the DEA could reclassify cannabis as a Schedule III drug, which puts it in the same category as anabolic steroids and Tylenol with codeine. James Pepper is chairman of the Vermont Cannabis Control Board. He says the change would not legalize cannabis at the federal level, but would allow for much-needed medical research that's currently prohibited.
There's both kind of symbolic importance and significance, and then also practical importance. You know, this is starting to become mainstream, and we need to, you know, allow the research to happen to really back up these medical uses and make sure that and see if there's any others.
Pepper hopes the reclassifying process will finish by the end of the year, which would also provide tax benefits to cannabis businesses in Vermont. Vermont has distributed 4,000 gun locks it acquired last year as part of the Gun Safe Vermont program. And Nick Karras, to the U.S. Attorney for Vermont, says partner organizations like libraries and sheriff's offices have been asking for resupplies. Karras said during a press conference this week that the goal of the program is not to tackle all violent crime, but to instead deal with other forms of gun violence, like suicides.
This project is about secure gun storage. It's not a panacea for gun violence throughout the state. This initiative's effort is to try to get more people to know about the resources that exist out there and to create barriers between guns and violent events.
Karras also announced updates to gunsafevt.org on Tuesday. That's the state's all-in-one gun safety resource, which now has new information on securely storing firearms and applying for extreme risk protection orders. And Vermont has a new poet laureate. Governor Phil Scott yesterday appointed Bianca Stone to serve a four-year term as the state's ambassador for the art of poetry. The Brandon-based poet has written five books, including the poetry collection What is Otherwise Infinite, which won a 2022 Vermont Book Award. Stone says she wants to use her role to work with educators across Vermont and reach communities that don't typically engage with poetry. Stone is the co-founder of the nonprofit Ruth Stone House, where she teaches poetry. Stone's grandmother, Ruth Stone, was poet laureate from 2007 to 2011. Coming up, the Vermont wave. It's a lot different than the kind you see at sporting events. The subtle hand gesture drivers often send each other when they pass by on country roads has many variations and quirky unwritten rules. We'll find out more after this. There's no one way to do the so-called Vermont wave, that gesture that drivers flash each other from behind the steering wheel when they're passing each other on rural roads. For example, who gets a whole hand wave and who doesn't? When exactly do you do it and what does it mean? For a recent episode of Brave Little State, reporter Nina Keck set out with question asker Mika Tucker to learn the unwritten rules of the road and find out what's up with the Vermont wave.
Any preferences for where we drive?
No, this can be the mystery tour. I'm just going to book her.
Yeah.
You just waved.
I did. That's my neighbor and fellow timber framer.
Oh, wow, that was a full hand wave. Do you know him?
I do.
Okay. So Mika Tucker and I are heading north on the Tunbridge Road, trying to see who's going to wave, who's not, and what sort of stylistic differences we see. Okay, coming up on a pedestrian, throwing the wave. Oh, nice wave in return.
No wave.
I think this is too fast.
Yeah,
not even a one finger. I noticed you tried the one finger on that one. It did not work. All right, so now the speed limit drops to 35. We'll see if we have any more waves here.
Yeah.
Two hands.
Two hands. Yes. That was great. I don't know him, but he gave me two hands.
Two hands, one finger. Everyone has their own take on the so-called Vermont wave. If you live in a rural part of Vermont and have been driving slow enough, you've definitely seen it. That little finger or hand flash from another driver.
And it makes me feel so at home. It makes me feel so...
Mika Tucker lives in South Stratford and lived in Norwich for a few years before that. But she was born in Scotland and raised in New Orleans and says after growing up in the South, Vermont has been an adjustment.
I miss the darlings and the hugs and the boisterous sort of friendliness of the South.
Mika says the one thing that comes close to that in Vermont is the wave people do from behind the wheel.
It's the thing that makes me feel like I belong here. But I had to, when I first saw it, I was like, what are people doing? And I felt like it was immediately recognized it as a kind of code that I didn't know how to do. So it was definitely an outsider thing for me.
The first time I realized that it was a thing was riding around with my father.
This is Tim Curran. He grew up outside Bennington in Shaftesbury.
And I saw him just waving at all sorts of people. And I remembered asking him, you know, who is that? And he said, I have no idea. I don't know who it is.
Tim's 35 and lives in Thetford now. And like his dad, he waves all the time.
If you do it often enough, you sort of develop your own little style.
Tim says he tends to raise one or two fingers straight up from the top of the steering wheel. If he knows the person, he throws in a little extra.
My personal flourish tends to be a little bit of a wave and then a point if I'm acknowledging somebody that I recognize.
A personal flourish doesn't have to be ephemeral. Some can be legendary. Tim tells me about a wave like that belonged to a guy named Tiger Dick.
He would sit at the end of the road from the dump at Tunbridge.
Tiger Dick's real name was Elbert R. Barnaby. He collected returnable bottles and cans.
And he would always wave to everybody that passed by, no matter whether he knew you, whether he recognized the car. You know, it was if there was a car going by, his hand was going up in the air, you know, pinky and ring finger down, and then everything else right straight up.
Not only was Tiger Dick iconic in Tunbridge, so was his unique wave, like a half-Spock salute from Star Trek. Elbert Barnaby, a.k.a. Tiger Dick, died in October 2022. He was 75.
He was just so well known by, you know, everybody around town that when he passed away, somebody erected a small memorial to him, placed up on a tree, just simply saying the word bye, B-Y-E, and his little signature hand wave was right next to it.
You can find photos of that memorial and Tim's signature wave at bravelittlestate.org. For Vermont Public, I'm Nina Keck.
That was an excerpt from a recent episode of Brave Little State, our podcast answering questions about Vermont that have been submitted and voted on by listeners. You can hear the rest of this episode about the Vermont Wave at bravelittlestate.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Lexi Krupp, Kevin Trevelyan, Corey Doxer, and Andrea Lorien. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.